Fruit Basket from Hell by Jason Krombine.
You killed him, didn't you? Mrs. Higgins' eyes went wide in surprise, yet somehow remained squinting. The only logical thought was that she had some kind of plastic surgery, or she was using Botox. Either way, she should sue. The guy had a fresh bullet hole in his forehead. Mrs. Higgins was the only one here, and if you smelled carefully enough, you could detect a slight trace of gunpowder.
Well, she added after a moment, not exactly.
Not exactly, I repeated. Look, this isn't a difficult question. If you don't feel comfortable speaking it, why don't you just write it down? You know, like a secret ballot. And then I heard a growling noise. I turned around and found currently deceased Mr. Higgins jumping to his feet in one fluid motion. His dead brown eyes had gone all red, and his mouth opened to reveal four new, and might I add, very sharp-looking, fangs. Of course. This explained everything.
Becoming Earth by Ferris Jaber.
As the nearly 400 billion trees in the Amazon drink their fill, they release excess moisture, saturating the air with 20 billion tons of water vapor each day. At the same time, plants of all kinds secrete salts and emit bouquets of pungent gaseous compounds. The wind sweeps bacteria, pollen grains, and bits of leaves and bark into the atmosphere. The wet breath of the forest, peppered with microscopic life and organic residues, creates the ideal conditions for rain. With so much water in the air and so many minute particles on which the water can condense, clouds quickly form. In a typical year, the Amazon generates around half of its own rainfall. Ultimately, the Amazon rainforest influences much more than the weather above its canopy. Some scientists have concluded that due to long-range atmospheric ripple effects, the Amazon contributes to rainfall in places as far away as Canada. A tree growing in Brazil can change the weather in Manitoba.
Daniel the Drawer by S.J. Henderson.
The man throws his head back and sticks out his chest. The letters on his shirt spell S.A.P. Super amazing pants.
Thanks, but actually, they're tights.
I meant your name, Mr. Pants, I say.
Please call me Sap. Mr. Pants is my father.
Usually when I draw something with the magic pencil, I know what I'm making. I've always wanted a superhero for a friend. Sap, in person, isn't exactly what I'd imagined. Sure, he looks like a superhero, with slicked back dark hair, gleaming teeth, and big muscles. He even wears his orange underpants on the outside, where there shouldn't be underpants. So, Sap, I say, what do you want to do today?
Well, as you know, my nemesis, Dr. Shortshorts, is always up to no good.
Your nemesis?
My enemy. I'm good, he's bad. I'm chocolate chip cookies, he's...
Meatloaf, I offer.
Bingo!
He says.
Someone has to stop him from his crimes.
Warriors, Rebels, and Saints by Moshik Temkin.
Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Carlos Slim, Jeff Bezos. With varying degrees of sophistication or nuance, these men, and sometimes women, are treated as heroes, role models, and inspirations. They are portrayed as uniquely powerful individuals, able to overcome through sheer force of will or ruthless intelligence the obstacles they faced. Such books are celebrations of individuality. You will usually read little in them about all the things that provided the basis for the success stories, but that the protagonist personally had nothing to do with, like being born to wealthy parents in a socially and economically stable country, with myriad educational and commercial opportunities. The message from this literary cottage industry is that where there's a will, there's a way.
Defining Diana by Hayden Trenholm.
I arrived on the scene just before 4 p.m, 3 hours after the initial report was phoned in. I wasn't happy about being late, and I sure as hell wasn't about to discuss the reasons why with the officers there. Inspector Willa O'Reilly was standing over the body and checking her watch when I burst through the hole where the apartment door had once been. I joined her and stood staring down at the dead girl.
"You're late, Frank," she said.
I shrugged. We were pretty informal at the special detection unit, but I didn't really appreciate being scolded by my second in command. If I'd had a good reason, I'd probably have said something, but I didn't think falling asleep at my desk qualified. "What have we got, Billy?" I asked.
"Willa, Frank. Or Inspector O'Reilly," said Willa. "Only my husband called me Billy."